Now, with me at the moment is Dr. Matt Strong, who is a recently graduated PhD at the University of Manchester, working at Jodrell Bank Observatory. Thank you for being with us today.
It's no problem, Nick.
Now, we want to talk to you because you were there when all these telescopes were connected together as one telescope. Tell us a bit about where that was, what happened.
This was at the Correlator for VLBI, which is located in Holland at a place called JIVE, which is an acronym for the Joint Institute for VLBI in Europe. And it was a very exciting time. Basically, we flew out to Holland on the day, got the train there, arrived at the place, and as we were getting there, we were just starting to set up for the EVLBI run. And before we could take any measurements of the astronomical bodies, we had to test the system. So we pointed the six telescopes that were in the observing session. We pointed them at a very strong radio source, something that we know very, very well, and so we know what we should be getting out. And we basically pointed the telescopes at this and then ran the system and debugged the system to make sure it would be all working fine for the observing run. There was some problems at the time, which required some technical expertise to solve them. And the good thing is that at JIVE, there are a good lot of technical support people there to help you do this. In fact, it was actually those people that were doing the observing run. Although this was the first production run of this, the whole support science staff was there to help and actually run the system. The two main people over there are Bob Campbell. He's the head of the support science group. And Arpad, who was the project lead for EVLBI. They basically set the system up and debugged it, got it working all fine for our observing run to start. When we first pointed the telescope at the objects that were in our observing run, it was a very exciting time to see the data coming out of the back of the correlator. When I say see the data coming out of the back of the correlator, that's actually... It's a bit difficult to imagine. All we really saw was a light flashing. But the light flashing means that there's data coming out of the back.
Yes.
And then we could go away and look at this data in real time and basically make sure everything was fine.
So what was actually happening? You were in an observatory, at the observatory, in a control room, sitting in front of a computer, presumably.
Yeah.
But did you actually have control over all the telescopes in the array at that time?
Well, the people that were running the observing run and us there had control of a certain amount of telescope information. What we basically had control of was what we call the back ends of the system. So basically all the processing and actually what comes after the telescope. The positioning of the telescope and the control of the pointing of the telescope was actually done by the telescope controllers at each institution.
Right.
At each telescope observatory.
So you weren't actually able to point the telescope yourself, or these separate telescopes yourself, or were you?
It's a matter of opinion, really. What we have is what's called a schedule file, and the astronomers that are taking the readings beforehand basically write a list of where they want the telescopes to point, at what frequency, and all those kind of things. And we then feed those into a system at each telescope.
Right.
And the telescope automatically then goes to these points, unless something goes wrong, in which case it has to be manually pointed or manually altered.
Right. So all the data comes into you, sitting there in Holland at the JIVE Institute, coming into one computer, and then it gets added together, it gets correlated, it goes into this correlator. Now, what's actually happening there? Is the correlator actually part of your computer software, or is it a separate thing entirely? What is it?
The correlator at JIVE is what we call a hardware correlator. What that basically means is it's a rather large box, and the information goes into this box, and in hardware, with many different computer systems and computer processes and things in there, it then comes out with an output. There are these things that are currently being developed, these things called software correlators, where you can have a network of computers, not necessarily in the same room or in the same country even, and the correlators, these computers, can then perform little processes, little parts of the correlation, and out of the back of all of them will come the astronomical signals then.
Right. But in this case, it was actually a specialised piece of equipment, specialised electronics, that the data from all the telescopes were being fed into, and the flashing lights said that the data was coming out correctly.
Yeah, this was a hardware correlator. But even a software correlator is a specialized a bit of equipment. It's something that not all computers, for instance, can do.
The reason why this is such an exciting time for you, for the observers, is that this was the first time that this correlation had been done in real time across such a wide array. At the same time, the data coming into the telescope was being all added together and then the result being shown to you. And that's a major step forward because, as Ralph Spencer said earlier, previously all the data were being recorded by each telescope onto a magnetic tape, and then it would take, how long? Days? Weeks? For all the data to be in one place
It could be correlated. Actually, Nick, it can take anything from weeks to months, depending on how the correlation at Jive is going. If there's a lot of experiments that need to be correlated, it can take a number of months for your observations to be taken and then be correlated and then be shipped back to you at your institution. So it is a lengthy process, and if you've got something wrong in that process, if you've got something wrong in your observing schedule or in your observing session in general, you will not know about it until those 3 months or however many months have elapsed and you get your data back.
And you have to think, blast, I have to go and do it all again.
Oh yeah, complete waste of time, need to be done again. And then you have to beg the institutions to do it again, and you say, sorry, it's, hands up, my fault,
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's not your fault, sometimes it's, a lot of times there can be problems at telescopes, problems with the weather, problems with all sorts of things, and you'll not actually find out the complete extent of that until the time when you get it back, which could be a number of months afterwards.
So by being able to combine all the information, all the data streams from all the telescopes, you're able to see the data coming out and decide whether it's all going according to plan, if it is actually working. And if there are problems, presumably you can fix them.
That's the idea, yes. It is one of the primary aims of EVLBI for us to have this rapid response so we can, if anything goes wrong or if anything happens on the sky, for instance, a supernova going off or a transient event or anything, we can change everything and just do everything in a matter of minutes.
There's two interesting things there. I mean, first of all, it's in the name. It's EVLBI. In the same way that it's email and e-commerce, it's electronic.
It's basically an e-science application now. We use computer networks, computer systems, rather than old tape or dispacks. And it's in real time, and that's where the E comes from.
Right, and so it's much faster, much more efficient. And, as you just mentioned, you can respond to things happening much faster, transient events, things which are occurring now. Tell us a bit about how this is going to affect that.
Well, at the moment, what happens is if anything happens on the sky, the telescopes, especially in radio astronomy, have to be scheduled, proposals have to be put in, and you then get telescope time to monitor whatever happens on the sky. It doesn't happen within the course of minutes, hours, or sometimes even days. The idea of EVLBI is that we can just react to something incredibly quickly. So if, for instance, a supernova goes off on the sky, once we get word of it, we can then quickly point the telescopes to it, set the data transmission going, set the correlation going, and we can start then having data within, conceivably a matter of minutes, hours after the event is noted.
So it's a combination of these two fantastic technologies, being able to combine separate data streams from very remote telescopes in real time and being able to use that to investigate transient phenomena with effectively a telescope the size of the Earth, or at the moment slightly smaller, but potentially it could be the size of the Earth, if not more.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why the system that we have in Europe cannot be extended to the rest of the world. In fact, there's been demonstrations of this technique working on a global scale. We had a conference last year called Supercomputing 2005, and at this conference, we demonstrated data transmission from telescopes from the US and from Europe. So we sent data from our telescope in Onslow, which is in Sweden, over our optical networks to a correlator in a place called Haystack in Boston. And there was also telescopes data coming from Japan and coming from other parts of the US. And we had this huge global EVLBI demonstration there. That wasn't actually the full system being demonstrated. It was actually only the data transmission and what we call a fringe, which is basically a combination of signals from two data sources. We didn't have the technology to take it that one step further. At that time, we were still developing it.
Right, but it will presumably at some stage become...
Oh yeah, definitely, it's going to happen.
Fantastic. Tell us a bit about, I mean, you're using this for your own research. Tell us about...
Yeah, I'm interested in supernova. A supernova is basically the end of a star's lifetime, an explosion at the end of its life. Basically, what happens is it kicks out matter in all directions, and then from that you can learn lots of science about the star, about the interaction with the interstellar medium, and lots of things. But the problem is that these occur on very short timescales. So once you've actually seen them, you need to get your telescope pointing at it pretty quick.
And you can't wait, presumably, for 3 months to discover that, the telescope or one of the telescopes was pointing in the wrong direction and all your information is ruined.
Well, the lifetime that you can get information on the supernova is actually a bit longer, but because of the rapid response thing, currently we don't have a lot of data for right at the beginning. Mm. Or if we do, it's only from actual lucky observations where you've been maybe observing something else and the supernova's gone off in your field of view. The supernova... flow of information starts with an optical detection. Somebody will see a supernova on the sky. They will then alert everybody, basically, to the fact that a supernova's gone off. And then everybody in whichever institute or whichever part of the spectrum you observe in can then point their telescopes at it and start taking information on it and learning more about it. The more data we get on these things, the better, really.
Very exciting stuff.
It can be, yeah.
have you observed a supernova yet with normal interferometry?
I myself haven't, no, but people at this institute at Jodrell here observe many supernova within a given time period. One of the archetypical starburst galaxies, which is a galaxy that has an immense amount of star formation, and so, because it has so much star formation, generally has a lot of supernova within it. The archetypal one of these, M82, is one of our main areas of interest here at Jodrell, and there are a number of people working on supernova and supernova remnants in this galaxy.
Well, we look forward to the first supernova being observed with the EVLBI.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you very much, Nick.